Welcome you to remain standing for the reading from the book of Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings closely to us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. This is the word of God given for you, the people of God. Thanks. Have a seat, please. If you'd been attending our church over the last number of weeks, we've been moving through Hebrews 11, which is the Hall of Fame of Faith. It simply proclaims that people who trust in God, that accept his acceptance of us, will live on. And something about their lives will inspire and touch and become heroic. Not because of the goodness necessarily in them, but the goodness infused from God's Spirit when he comes into a tender heart. The writer of the book of Hebrews goes through the varsity list of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. And only because we thought it would be maybe illuminating to study the ordinary saints or the everyday saints that are listed afterward in the B team or the JV, like Gideon, Samson, Rahab, Samuel, Jephthah. They were normal people who were afraid, who became strong, or people who were broken in their macho male images, swimming in a sea of hormones, who rose up to fulfill the dream of God. A prostitute who acted on faith, who rescued God's people. A prophet who was willing to stand and speak a solo voice in times of trouble. So today we celebrate people who came into our lives as well, who brought something otherly, something beautiful, something translucent, something that offered the very hope or reflection of Christ that was etched in our lives forever. We celebrate not just the wise ones, but the foolish ones. Not just the strong and outgoing ones, but the shy ones. Not just the whole ones, but the broken ones. The despots, tosspots, crackpots, and teapots of faith. Somehow, we loved them, sometimes without knowing how much we loved them. And they loved us more than we realized. To gain what little we may have or to ever hope to have, and sort of gaining our own seedy sainthood through a simple trust and faith in Christ. We celebrate the saints of old and the saints that we've lost this past year and those who sit right next to us that we might not have in months from now. And we acknowledge that Christ calls and forgives and rescues and then calls us to follow, and in doing so, gathers us into a pilgrim community in order to teach us how to love and live. We now tell the stories of those who prayed for us and took us to church, those who changed our oil and visit us in the hospital, those who visited our children in Sunday school rooms and taught them the very word of God. If you are in Christ, you are a part of a line or a lineage of those who sipped wine that had once just recently been water. If you are a Christian, you stand today wide-eyed as Christ healed the lepers and gave sight to the blind and power to walk. You, honest to goodness, you are related to those who saw a four-day-old corpse emerge from a tomb alive with grave clothes dangling. If you are a Christian, you are kin to those who lowered friends with Cheshire Cat grins of faith through a roof, hoping that their friend could be touched by the healing nature of Jesus. If you are a Christian, you are a sibling of those who ran to that first empty tomb on that first Easter morning. If you believe in Jesus, you have the spiritual DNA of one who sailed and hiked the Roman world, Christ drunk, punch drunk, to share the great news that God had come to forgive broken humanity. These people, they live on, those whom we loved. Death could not put an end to them. Oh, you think so, but no, now they, we believe, are more alive than they have ever been. And even in some strange way, still very much alive in our church and in our hearts. These are people we loved, who loved us. June Bricker, this gentle, quiet sweetheart who sang in the choir, who was a part of Bible studies here, on my very first Sunday, whispered to me in her own quiet way as she went out the door, "I have loved every pastor we have ever had," she said. And there was hope that somehow this place could be for me too. Anita Butwinski, this gentle, sweet woman who was introduced to a man with whom they would share 57 years as she sustained him in Vietnam with love letters that still are folded and wrapped and treasured by him and us. This woman whose office becomes a construction zone of crafts for little ones whom she loved, ballroom danced in her home and in competition as she brought the rhythm of grace into many of our lives in the great waltz of this life. Doris Fiesler, this gentle, non-confrontational woman of whom her children said, "We can't remember a day in a life that had many challenges where she ever cursed or was cruel." Oh God, I think, raise up that sort of grace again today in us through the reflection of these heroes. We remember Dale Fitzpatrick, this innovator, this streamliner of things, this person who created and made so many gadgets in the house that it will take years for his wife to unmake them and undo them and figure out simply how to turn on the TV. He brought his innovation of silliness and faces and animation not only to his family, but to those who graced the doors of his business as he lived with integrity, a life that loved God. We remember Kenneth Greenwalt, this dentist who could do anything for anyone. Of course, especially for children, but for a wider range of people, he carried a toolbox in his car and just happened to have blow torches and sledgehammers and other things that would help others along the way. This grandfather who would kiss granddaughters in a game of a prince awakening princesses, so he too kissed this world and made some of us frogs become better than we were simply for having known him. Charles Hawk, the understatement of determination. He was more a force of nature than he was sometimes a human being. A husband, he was contrasted by this gentle woman, two complementary ends of the very same book. He would move with great determination around our community, building bridges with those with whom many would disagree. By integrity and respect, he would be so very proud of his remarkable sons and his beautiful daughter-in-laws and grandchildren upon whom he would dote. Chuck Hawk, who was invited here by a lady during vacation Bible school and told him, "Bring your baseball mitt," later would become one of the patriarchs of our church. We remember him and beg that God would raise up more men strong and beautiful like him. We remember Richard Heisel. His wife said of him, "One of the most cute and clever whiners the world has ever known." He was just an honest soul who was translucent to things inside of him. Oh God, I think, raise up more men who can simply be honest and vulnerable and expose their loves and loathes. Ron Irons, we remember, this uncomplicated man who suffered so deeply and yet held on to love and gentleness and patience and Christ. To his dying days, he showed us not just how to live, but how to release and how to die. We remember Wayne Keener, a protector, a loyal and faithful man, to a wife who would say, "I was never unloved," to two remarkable daughters that he would invest his life in. Oh God, I say, raise up fathers and husbands like him. We remember Jerry Lawrence, a guy who drove school buses in our community and knew the names of children for the sake of Christ who would get on, who before their days would start, he would begin them with treats and a humble acknowledgement of who they were. He was, of sorts, a beast of burden that carried people to higher places of learning. And so the metaphor in his humble and unassuming, unpretentious life carried many of us as he carried for some 17 years people on a blue bus to heal and to feed the people of Cleveland. We remember today Don Paris. It was said of him, nothing is so strong as gentleness. He was the nurturer, the unconditional lover in his family. They called him a mother hen, where he would wrap his wings around not only his children, but the friends of his kids and nieces and nephews, names attributed to him, a sweetheart, an angel, a safe place, a refuge. Maureen Paskett, adorned by her family and friends, loved to dance and sing and brought people together in an umbrella of care. Many of you have to remember Darlene Price, and if you didn't, you should have. She drove fast, she said yes, she wore her tennies down, she got up early, she stayed up late, she pulled weeds, folded laundry, involved in our choir. Some of you were those whom she greeted for the first time here. She used her winsome spirit to make garments for our church, to ring in the handbells, to volunteer in the office, to serve in our kitchen at our Logos program, and participated in so many Bible studies, it's really hard to count. We saw the love of Christ in her, and we felt it, and we remember her this day. We remember Sally Rocks, a woman whom many have forgotten here, who taught Sunday school for 20 years, faithful, outgoing, a voice who raised her praises to God. Charles Spiker was a lanky, gentle man who gave his life to our country through military and Boy Scouts. He took his family into the mountains because he believed that somehow meteor showers and stars and waterfalls and mountains would cause people to fall into wonder and awe of a God who creates beauty in both people and in the world around them. Can you feel it? Can you? Can you sense God calling you deeper through the lights of those he's put around us? Can you sense that maybe we're not just called to keep our windows clean and our lawns cut and our kids running in a million activities? Maybe life and death mean more than what we think on ordinary days. Bob Tomic reminded us of that. He would read books on heaven before he was sick and after, curious about the final journey, his faith expressed in such kindness, questioning of others. His sense of humor would bring a mirth and a winsomeness to cancer that was so very rare to see. One time walking down the hallway of the Cleveland Clinic, I kept hearing laughter spill from a room. I knew it was Bob's before I even turned the corner. Ornery, fun, wild, beautiful, and his love for Christ and his holding on in the hardest of times. Helmut Werner, this gentle man who made deals on handshakes and didn't like to sign contracts because his word meant so much more than what other people's sometimes do. He would creep on eBay for the fun of it to stalk classic cars, but his deep love were many of you. Sue Wolfe, before her days, lost a spouse to death and married another man who had lost his spouse. And before the Brady Bunch, she helped blend two families with dignity and love and made his children feel as nurtured as her own. May her memory live in an unconditional way of how to love and reach beyond our own DNA. Michael Zagurski, if you don't mind, sat boom right there. If he were here, you wouldn't be, at least right there. He would come early and plop himself down, and after he lost a wife of over 60 years, he saw it his call in life to come next to other widowers, to encourage them, and to bless them, and to remind them that there is still love left in this world. And Wally Zwirna, this manly man who coached, who loved, who invited me to lunch my very first week here, and assured me not only would I make it, but he would be with me through the whole of it. I'm sad today that he couldn't be physically, but feel his presence here now. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver, he would say to me every single week at the door. And I wondered, is he on to me? Can he tell that today is not so cheerful? Is he one of these people that can see into my soul? No, don't think about it too much, I thought. This man of faith who unabashedly would tilt his head back and sing the songs of praise to God and collect bulletins and notes within him. Some in our community called him Mr. Z. He said they called him behind his back Mr. Wonderful. He was a self-appointed Methodist saint, and now on this day we claim him gregariously, expressively, as one of our saints, one of the lights who lit a way to a faith and new beginnings. Behold, said Christ, I will one day make all things new. He will come He will come, and we will see a holy city, a new Jerusalem, adorned as a bride for her husband. And this voice will ring in our ears and in our hearts. God will make all things new. Everything will one day be gone. That is old Jerusalem, old Cleveland, and old Strongsville. Like all the cities torn apart, dangerous, heartbreaking, unpleasant, ugly, pretentious, and lonely. One day we will walk the streets in peace, and our children will play unattended in the parks. And we won't be able to tell whether we are one of the children or one of the wise old ones. Those things lost to our sin, ignorance, and death will be gone. Our friends will come around, and we will know the secret of heaven, the new Chicago, the new Strongsville, the new Cleveland, the new Hiroshima, the new Baghdad, the new bus driver, the new hot dog salesperson, the new seamstress, the new you, the new me, the new everybody who has dared to claim Christ. We will be found shimmering, washed, and dressed in the very best of who we had ever longed to be, had been planned to be upon our birth. All Saints' Day, a day for you to consider and give thanks for the lights that have been around us. A day for us to consider those lights that sit next to us that we will not always have. A day to consider what will be the meaning of our own life and death, and what legacy will we live? What will be said of us one day when candles are lit? How will we die? How will we live again? What legacy, I wonder, what God will say about your own priorities and lifestyle. But as for this day, we hope that we will be new again with Christ.